part of hearing from God is actually sharing it. And today I've got three brave people who are going to come up and give us some testimony, because we know that's a real way that God blesses us. There are three people who feel like God has given them a double, treble, quadruple portion of blessing, and that he's been there for them at a particular time in their life. And they really want to speak of that gratitude today. So we're going to have, including, because it's an all age and all range of people, we've got Suzanne, who's going to be speaking about when years ago, 15 years ago, when she had her first child, Oliver. And we're going to be having Mike, who's actually coincidentally just had his first child. He's our youth leader. And we've also got Anne Thatcher, who's also going to be coming and speaking. Anne's fairly new to the area, but I think she knows everyone because she's that kind of person. So thank you, Suzanne, if you'd like to come up and share your testimony about God's provision.
Okay, so the 9th of February 2002, obviously a very memorable day for a lot of you because it was the day that Will Young won the Pop Idol competition. However, for me at that point, I'd reached 30 weeks of pregnancy. It was amazing because I had really bad preeclampsia and I was in hospital and my kidneys weren't working very well, and it was a Saturday morning. And Mr. Bennett and Mr. Weeble, when two consultants on a Saturday come and see you, you know you're not very well. And they wanted to move me to Bristol, and I didn't want to go because I didn't want to be that far from my family. And they made mutterings about people who might need to help me and would there be enough provision. And they said, okay, we'll let you stay. So that was good. And then earlier on in that morning, we had the hospital chaplain who came around to see us. And his first words to us were, are you Christians? At which point Craig and I looked at our feet and went, because we weren't at that point. But I am so grateful for him for that challenge and for those three words, because actually it was that those three words of, are you a Christian, that later on in my life, well, a few months later in that year, really made me think and reflect and search out that challenge of, am I a Christian or not, and what is this all about? So that was a good seed that he sowed for us that day, although it was a bit awkward at the time. And then later on, I was in the ward, and I'd sat there all day getting sicker and not feeling very well. And Anne Funning appeared, who is a midwife and one of the congregation here. If you don't know her, she's amazing. So she came in and said, oh, great, Pop Idol, let's sit down and watch this. And then she went, how are you feeling? Let's have a listen to the baby. And his heart rate was about 80, which is not good. So she said, right, I think very calmly, I think we'll go downstairs, at which point all chaos obviously then went on. An emergency C-section arrived. Mr. Bennett arrived. I remember him walking into the operation theatre, waving at me, and I'm just going, just get this baby out. And my sister was... So during the surgery, I had my sister standing outside praying in the sluice going, God, don't let these people die. Because, you know, I was poorly. And actually the next day, Mr. Bennett said, you know, given another minute, we wouldn't have been able to save Oliver. So it's just amazing, the timing of that. And obviously my sister's prayer. And he was resuscitated by Anne and another midwife. And that day there was a paediatrician, a registrar paediatrician, who was doing his very last shift at North Devon District Hospital ever. And he was the only person probably in the hospital who had the skill and the capability of being able to intubate, which is put the tube down a 30-week-old baby and get them attached to a ventilator and administer all the right drugs and make sure they're safe. And so for him to be doing that last shift, I'm like, wow. And then obviously then there's provision of all the amazing SCBU nurses. And my last words were before I went into operating theatre was, I don't want to wake up in intensive care. Because to me, also working in a hospital, I know it's a really scary place to be. And then the one-to-one of all the amazing midwives who looked after me on the labour ward for 3 or 4 days, and they probably shouldn't have kept me there, but that's where I was. So I am just so grateful for the provision of being blessed by so many amazing healthcare professionals who saved my life, saved Oliver's life, which sounds overdramatic, but actually it was pretty horrendous. So I am so grateful for their provision and for God putting all those amazing Christian healthcare professionals in that way, and just also the hospital chaplain who just sowed that seed, and I'm very grateful for him too. So yeah, my experience.
Thank you, Suzanne. And yeah, that is an amazing story. And Suzanne did well. It's a really long, detailed story, but all the minutiae of the story are completely, every time I hear it, it's a real amazing one. So Mike, would you like to come up and talk to us about how you really feel like God's blessed you? So I'm sure you all know Mike, who's our youth leader. Just a little side note. I hope you won't say about when you heard how you became a youth leader. Mike, as far as I know, I might get this wrong, but we have all been waiting for our youth leader for ages, okay, and praying patiently. And the youth have been getting more and more like they want a youth leader. And then Mike, a few months ago, was it 6 months ago, when you heard the Mercy Ships? You heard a preaching, didn't you? And you felt like God was really prompting you to become our youth leader. So we've been really blessed. As a church, we are really blessed by this man and his family, his wonderful wife, Rosie, and beautiful little Ezra. So over to you, Mike.
It's not a particular moment or thing that I'm really thankful for. I mean, there's so many things in my life that I've been thankful for. The life that I've lived, sort of growing up, my upbringing, from coming to England, because I didn't really want to come to England to start off with, but sort of the provisions of where I've worked, provision of meeting Rosie, and just such amazing times. Now we've just had Ezra 6 months ago, and every things along the way, sort of the provision of our home, cars that we have. I really felt that God's just given us all of these different things, and he's got his hand on our lives, and it's just so I'm so grateful for that knowledge, but far above anything that I've received or experienced that I've had on earth, meeting Rosie, having Ezra. The thing I'm most grateful for is the best way to describe it. Sometimes I will sit and be able to do nothing. I have the ability of just doing nothing, and so wondering about sort of I don't know if anybody's seen the Louis Giglio DVDs of sort of how vast our universe is and how far too big it is for just human inhabitation. And it just brings to reality in my mind like how amazingly awesome our God is, and how, I mean, even the intricacies of our world. So that's the universe is going out, and if we look into the intricacies and we just look at how huge and amazing our God is, and then to think about that. In John 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And that Word became flesh in Jesus Christ. The God who made the entire universe came down to our earth, to what He made, and just came and lived with us and walked with us. There's a verse of a song, and this talks about sort of the time when Jesus died on the cross for us. And it says, the moon and the stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. Talking about Jesus. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross. His blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. And we were singing that song last night at United Generation. And it's just incredible. The Almighty God of everything who made us. And the amount of love that He has for us, that He stepped away from His throne in heaven, and He came in to be with us. And it really hits me of the gap between us and God, and Jesus came and lowered Himself to our level, without lowering Himself really. That is the thing I'm most grateful about, and it just stumps me of that vastness that God has done for us. The other, and with that sort of now that we've been saved, Beryl, if you could put that verse up. The other song that also highlights it is sort of the no guilt in life and no fear in death. And now I used to be, I suppose, quite a shy about 13, 14 year old and below, younger than that. And it was a time in my life when I just realized that this God, he really loves us. And more, and also more than that, he likes us. And he likes to spend time with us. And there's the one line is like, we play for an audience of one. And I sort of went from a shy 13-year-old to really knowing that this God of the universe, this almighty God, he's walking, he's living in me, he likes me, and it's only his approval that I have to earn, well, not earn, that I've got. And I don't have to earn the approval of my peers or anybody else. And it's, I mean, there's so many things in this life that we can be grateful for. But that's my eternal hopefulness, from eternal hopelessness to eternal hopefulness, is what I'm most grateful for.
And finally, we have Anne, who's coming up. Anne moved down here, what, about a year ago? 2 years ago. I don't know, you just seem to be in the Trinity for a while now, so I can't put a date on it. But we're very grateful to have Anne. She's a joiner in her, and she's got a lot of spark and personality about her.
Right, I became a Christian about halfway through my life. My husband had died, and before I came to know the Lord, life was pretty meaningless. I was trying to bring up two children, and I just thought there was nothing. And then the Lord got me in. That's a story. You'll hear it on Ladies' Day. And since then, I've just realised how much that we've got to be grateful for. And there's a purpose in life. God is there. And, you know, I'm thankful and grateful every day for hundreds and hundreds of little things. I love my comfy bed. I like my warm house and enough food to eat. But I've got three big gratefulnesses. And one was, we used to live in a town in the middle of the country, and the family decided to move down to Devon, and I'm really grateful I was able to come with them. So I'm near to my family, and I love bodyboarding. And the second thing, I've forgotten what I was going to say. Second thing. But the third thing is, as I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the second thing was finding a lovely Christian family like this. I've really felt at home since the first time I stepped through the door. So thank you all, and thank you, Lord. And then, obviously, coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, getting to know him personally, and he helps me every day. He's a wonderful God.
I'm really grateful. Linda's going to come and share Psalm 95 with us now. She's going to read it to us. And I'm going to talk very briefly about what you're going to do, and then it's going to be your time to engage with the word in whatever way that you choose best.
Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands form the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today. The Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah, as they did at Massa in the wilderness. For there your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw everything I did. For 40 years I was angry with them, and I said, there are people whose hearts turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. This is the word of the Lord.
So as I said, you'll be glad that it's not, it's a very short couple of words of explanation about the passage, and then you're going to be going off and exploring it yourself. So this is using David's notes. So particularly what strikes us in the first verse of the passage, we together as a community, let us sing to the Lord. And that's what we do. We come here every Sunday and we join together, but not just every Sunday, during our weeks, we join together with the billions of Christians who are around the world. But the thing that we're singing to, which Mike mentioned in his testimony, is the rock of our salvation. That's the centre of all our worship, centre of all our lives. And that's what we're really focusing on today in our time of thanking God. Let us come to him with thanksgiving and sing psalms of praise to him. I love the idea of Thanksgiving, having a time of Thanksgiving. And when we used to live in the States, there is actually a holiday called Thanksgiving, which is my favourite holiday because it involves no presents. It involves an excessive amount of food, but no presents. And it's a time when you just say thank you. And actually, you know, maybe we've lost that a little bit, our time of thanking in our culture, because Christmas starts in September and then Easter eggs come in on, you know, December the 31st. We kind of got all our seasons all quite mixed up, and actually stopping for harvest and saying thank you is probably a great thing for us to remember to do. For the Lord is a great God, a king above all gods. So much turmoil, isn't there, in the news and across the world. But God is above all that. What's happening in all the wars in the world, God is above all that. And we've got, no matter what our political leanings are, we know that we have a great God who is a leader of everything, and that he will make, everything will turn out. We know it all works out in the end. And the verses 4 and 5 remind us of creation, remind us how massive creation is. I love the way that actually Beryl's chosen the particular slide that she has. Because the world is massive, isn't it? Creation is so impressive. When Anne goes out on her bodyboard, down Puttsborough, particularly impressive, isn't it? When you look around you and you're down at the beach and you look at creation, you're like, yes, it's fantastic. It's amazing. And I'm sure lots of you have taken the opportunity the last couple of weeks of having some better weather about getting out into creation. As we move on to verse 7, we're reminded that we are the people He is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only we would hear his voice today. We are his chosen people. We're here today. We are chosen by him. And there are millions of other people, billions of other people. But we want everyone to be part of that. And that is, he doesn't want anyone to not be part of his family. And if we're not willing to tell them, then who is? So that's going to be a bit of a challenge to us today, to think about how we can make that harvest come together to really reap the harvest that God has. And then at the end of the passage, this is the bit I almost kind of like left out, I have to be honest. You know, the bits in the Old Testament which you kind of want to leave out because they're not saying all the sort of like nice stuff, and you're kind of, but actually when you look into this, as David has done and I did briefly, when we talk about Meribah, there's a place of strife when people did turn their back on God. And actually we really need to remember that we need to keep focused on God. If we turn our back on God, if we harden our hearts, we're going to be in a wilderness of our own making, a wilderness that we create if our hearts are hardened to him. We're reminded, for there your ancestors tested and tried my patience. God's a lot more patient than any of us mums, dads, grandparents here. And I'm sure my children would agree that my patience is fairly finite. Luckily, God's patience is infinite, but we still need to be mindful. He is a great God. He's a powerful God. Don't test his patience. So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. I don't want that. I don't want to be barred from God's place of rest. I want to be able to enter into that place of rest. And that's what I want for each one of us today. Rest doesn't necessarily mean, I love that Mike can sit and do nothing, okay, I'm useless at that pretty much, but a place of rest can be different for each one of us, and so that's what I'm going to invite you to do today, is to go to a place of rest.